It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mija podcast. I'm still nervous as fuck, but guess what, guys? I'm a survivor, bitch. I want to say a big shout out to Nico and Myra for allowing the Millennial Mija podcast to record in their space. This is a legendary place in the community that just brings people together, and it's an honor to be able to record here. So thank you, Espacio 1839. Keep in mind that they do allow us to use this space free of charge. So the way you can pay back and help us out is by coming and shopping. And it's not hard to shop here because there's a lot of cute shit to buy. So I highly suggest that you come in. So this episode is going to be called Live from Espacio 1839. And this is my first episode back on the air. We had to take a little break. And first I'm sitting next to someone. Say what's up, Ale.
Hey, what's up? My name's Ale. We had to take a little break to regroup over here.
Well, we're back.
We're back. And we regrouped. We've marinated on a lot of shit, but we're here. Yes. We're surviving. And yeah.
And Ale is my, what's your title?
Well, I have many things for Angie over here, yes. But I guess official title would be production coordinator.
Yes, for the Millennial Mija podcast. And this is Alejandra Ramirez, who is also a writer and a very talented one at that. And I'm extremely grateful for your help. She's helping me with doing a press kit, which we have so much to update you guys on. We just have so much to share. And so we can start by talking about the last podcast. So the last podcast was the first podcast that Ale came to assist me on. And girl, it was a mess.
Just, you know.
Who's that? We have another noise going on. Noise. Okay, got it. There's going to be a couple technical difficulties here and there, guys. But guess what? We're going to make it work.
Just bear with us. You know, we're still out here. Yeah. We're pushing through.
So... the last podcast was a mess, and I'm gonna tell you why. The last guest I had was Kristen, Neighborhood Prima on Instagram, who is a nail tech, who's a fashion guru, who's a mother, who's just a dope ass person. And I actually had her on there because she wrote an incredible. She's also a good writer too. You could tell. People think that writing captions is not writing, but that's not true. I find some people's creativity really comes out in their captions, like their ability to write or their ability to use words in a beautiful way that kind of like move people, you know? And I noticed that about her, and I read one of her posts that was a picture of her and her son with, I guess, just wearing like a sarape. And it was about how she doesn't feel Mexican enough or Latina enough. Like, how Latina are you? And like in that sense of... you know, you're from here, but you're not from there, ni de aquí, ni de allá, but at the same time, like, you don't feel like you're from anywhere. And so that was something that I could relate to. And tell me why we didn't even bring that up once on the goddamn podcast, bro. We didn't even bring it up once. It's because me and her just kind of like, just, we were chismeando, we were just kicking it, you know? And I guess and it was my first podcast in a new place, which I will make that announcement that the reason why I'm in a new space is because of the Good News Radio. They changed their contract and they wanted me to sign a new contract that said something that I didn't agree with, and it's no hard feelings, but I needed to go my own way. And that caused me to kind of like have a break in the podcast, obviously. And you know, I was starting to feel discouraged by the setting change, and I was kind of feeling like, you know, I don't know, like maybe I'm not cut out for this, or because let me be honest, when I was over there in TGN, I felt like I got my little ego boost by being more legit because of the way the studio looked. Like, to me, I thought that was important. Like, it made me feel more legit. And when that was, I guess, essentially taken from me by my choice, then it was up to me to figure out whether or not my podcast, my voice, my message, the podcast alone could stand on its own two feet without having, like, you know, purple lights and shit. Nice microphones and whatever, all that. And I had to really think about that, and so it caused me to start feeling to get discouraged, because I felt like if I stopped recording, like I was failing somehow. But to grow, one must adapt and evolve. Like, nothing can stay the same forever. Like, I think I'm struggling to get comfortable with the ebb and flow of things. Like, I know now that it has nothing to do with my worth or the quality of the podcast. Like, things simply change, and that's okay. It's more about how I react to those changes that matter the most. And I immediately was able to find a different space to record in, because obviously the homegirl Sammy Joe, shout out Sammy Joe, I love you, girl. That's my from my fellow podcast friend and just regular homegirl, who offered her space. But when we tried to do that podcast in that space, it wasn't right. There was something, it wasn't ready yet. I was also not ready yet because I didn't put enough effort into, like, preparing. So I didn't come in the day before and try to figure out how the stuff worked. Like, I didn't put any thought at all into the way the background looked on the camera. And so all these things were stressing me out, which is the reason why I decided not to go live on IG, was because to keep a G, I really sometimes think too much about the way I look. And I think that many of us do that, but I need to take away that layer of anxiety and just, like, let the podcast itself, let the words carry the most weight and that be the most important thing. And so that's what I feel like this is able without doing the podcast, like, on video. I think maybe I'll get back to that, but I think for now I need to get back to my voice and you know, the quality of the podcast. So we have other updates. Let's play some music. I want to also highlight my friend Angelica Maria, who is a recording artist. And girl, let me tell you, she's the real deal. And I want to play some of her music because her music is the vibe for the summer, bro. Like, her music is the vibe. Like, I know there's a lot of a lot of my listeners have a lot of exes, toxic ass exes, who are trying to come back. And, you know, when they do come back and you get to tell them that you're busy, that's when you get to give them what they deserve. And so this song, Estoy Busy, just gives that vibe of what we need for the summer. Like, that, I don't give a fuck. Like, I am not worried about you or what you got going on, because guess what? Estoy muy busy. So I'm gonna play a little bit of that song.
See, when I'm free, you don't call me. Cuando estoy en casa, you're at the party. I don't love the crowds, you already know me. I stay low-key. Y no te pido mucho, let's be honest. Just pick up your line when I call it. And if you can't do that, te supero.
When I tell you I get high in my room and vibe to this song, I'm so serious. I have, like, the best time doing my makeup.
So many moves, I'm getting dizzy. Don't hit my line, now you miss me. You never call, that's a pity. Not fucking with me. Yeah, it's so busy.
So many moves, I'm getting dizzy. See, that's the vibe. This is the vibe that we need. We don't need to be wasting our time crying over these men, okay? And I know that, I don't know, I know there's going to be people that say I sound bitter. Or, but guess what? Estoy muy busy. No me importa. So I have updates. So since the last podcast, I had a whole agenda, you guys. So let me just try to stick to it for once in my life. So Ale, who is Ale? We already passed that, but but who are you, Ale? Tell me who you are. Aside from who you are here for the podcast, give us a little background on you.
Okay, so I am a writer, community builder, brujita, all in one. I am someone who lives with fibromyalgia, which is chronic pain, essentially. Long story
I didn't
short.
Even know that. Isn't that what Lady Gaga has?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you and Lady Gaga.
I know, right?
Okay,
I know, when that documentary came out, it was like
representation.
Because fibromyalgia is not really talked about, because there's no actual test to actually prove, like blood tests. So it's all,
well, the pain is the answer.
Yeah, but you know, people will tell you, like, it's all in your head, you know, all that shit. But yeah, so I am someone, big fibromyalgia advocate, and yeah, I'm just out here trying to figure out my, well, I am figuring it out, and I'm getting more clarity on my purpose here and working with you. Like, I was just us talking yesterday too with how, like, I was just so down to just help you out and everything. So I'm grateful to be here.
It's all coming together for both of us. And it's important to me to be able to support you as much as I can too. You know, I want us all to win. That's the thing. That's really the thing. That's what it comes down to, is that there is enough room for us all to win. And if we can find a way to support each other in mutually beneficial ways, then shit, why not?
Yeah.
So welcome to the team, Ale. I'm grateful for you and all you are coming. You also have some, later on down in the episode, you have some updates you're going to share with us about what it is you're bringing to the podcast and some ideas and visions you have of how we can, you know, grow.
Yes.
So upcoming events. So tomorrow, this Sunday, April 10th, 2022, just in case you didn't know, in Pasadena at Mercadito Monarca, we will be having the very first Season of Self collab with Liz Villa, who is going to be doing a sound bath. So the workshop is called, it's a writing workshop and sound bath. The workshop is called Season of Self, Connecting with Yourself. And this is a podcast. This is a workshop I've done before, but never. Okay, that's not true. I'm lying. The whole thing is a lie. Everything's a lie. Our whole life is a lie. Because we did actually do it before. And it was all because of Ashley from Brown Girl Travels put us together. And something happened in her event where we weren't able to have separate workshops. So we needed to combine them, like, on the drop of a hat. And when we did, it was magical. So, you know, I was excited at the idea of being able to collab. And ever since Ale came into my life, it's kind of been more easier for me to not just have an idea, but like someone, because let me tell you something. I'm an idea factory, okay? It's the follow through that I lack, you know? And so what matters if you have so many ideas if you don't do anything about any of them? And so it's been easier for me to follow through just to have that little bit of support behind me. With organizing the actual logistics of things. So tomorrow is going to be a beautiful, magical kind of experience, because it will be like, you know, the first time it was impromptu, we were just put together in a room and then, you know, magic happened, definitely. But this time it's more planned and it's in a very intentional space. And so I think that all of those things, all of those elements are going to come together and create just, you know, healing. And the concept of Season of Self workshops are healing workshops, but they're self-healing workshops in community. So your whole point is, you know, yourself and getting closer to yourself and connecting with yourself and ultimately your inner child, which we'll discuss at the workshop. But it's also in a community of other people who are doing the same thing. So that opens up this door for you if you are on this journey, that you start to recognize that there's this big difference now between you and many people in your life, because you have started to go on this journey of self-healing, or, you know, self understanding, actualization, whatever you would call it. And so you start to see that there's you have a need to fill now, that you don't want to get rid of your old friends or get rid of people, but you want to add people who are positive in your life. And that is a great space to meet others in. And that's what Season of Self has also turned into since we started it in 2019, which was a result of my detox. And it started in my front yard, and it grew into a retreat that we went to the Sequoias, and it's grew into lifelong friendships. And that was an unintended benefit, I guess, that I was just trying to help myself out. And then it started to be that it was beneficial for everyone who was involved. And so, it's been a really beautiful thing. So I really am excited and looking forward to this event tomorrow. And with that, we had a shout out to Erica at Mercadito Monarca for allowing us to use their space as well. You know, these community spaces like Espacio, like Mi Vida in Highland Park, like Mercadito Monarca, these spaces keep our community going. They really, truly do. And that is the way we support each other, is by supporting our shops, you know, supporting each other's businesses and keeping us thriving. So I'm looking forward to that. What do you have any words about the workshop?
I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be very magical and beautiful in a very intimate setting. And just the whole idea of it being so intentional of how it came about as well. So I think it's going to be very beautiful tomorrow.
Me too. And then upcoming events, Kim, the homegirl Kim from Badass Bonita, is having a book launch on April 24th in Hollywood. I will be posting the flyer on my page, and I will be attending. And she will also be coming on the podcast soon. I think actually the 23rd she'll be on the podcast, and on the 24th we'll be at her book launch. So again, I want to do more of this where I announce events and encourage our community to show up to them. So yeah, what else we got on here? Okay, so the time changed. Yes. The time finally changed, and I am back, because you know what? Seasonal depression is real, and the sun setting at 5 p.m. was not doing well for me and my mental health. But now it is sunset ceremony season. So I want to encourage all of you to take advantage of the beautiful hikes and views in LA and start your practice. For those of you that aren't familiar with sunset ceremony, it's just something I understand and realize the depth of calling something a ceremony. And to me, it is a ceremony because it's my sacred time alone that I use to like recharge myself and really dig deep and write and reflect. And so all it was during my detox, I literally just like, I needed help to want to continue being here. I was really struggling. And so the only thing I had to look forward to every day was that was my sunset ceremony, which was just me climbing up a mountain in Highland Park and just sitting there and trying to find the will to stay here. And I found it. But I found it by consistently going there and consistently taking care of myself and my spirit when I was down. So starting that practice was life-changing for me. And it's something I still do every day. Not every day. It's still something that I do to this day. I do it a lot less than I did. I do it like maybe once or twice a week now. But because I'm not in the same state that I was, where it was like basically keeping me here. So, yeah, I encourage everyone. I know there's other people. We also went through the podcast analytics and we found out there's people listening in Germany. Where else?
UK.
UK.
There was like 0.02% in Africa, like Ghana.
And shout out to the homies listening who are locked up, because I know some homegirls have told me that their man listens to me in prison. So I want to say shout out to the homies. Look, I don't give a fuck where you're listening. If you're listening, that means something to me. And yeah, because you know what, these words and the people that I interview and the wisdom that comes out of these conversations, it needs to be liberated. Like Dr. Cruz, the homie from Homies Empowerment. I was gonna call it Mansi Homeboy Industries. Also, Homies Empowerment is in Oakland, and he created a school. Him and his team created a school called Homies Empowerment, and it's a completely new concept. And he talks about how having some of the tios or tias locked up in jail, having them as counselors for the kids, like via Zoom, because even if the individual is locked up, their wisdom can still be liberated. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to put it. And so to me, like I said, it doesn't matter where you're listening from. Thank you for taking the limited time we have on this earth and using it to share space with me. So time change, sunset ceremony. And listen, the thing about the sunset ceremony is you don't have to be in LA. You don't have to be anywhere. All you have to be is somewhere where the sun sets. And I'm pretty sure you are. Pretty sure you are. So with that, what I do is I just take my journal, my season of self journal, if you want one of those. I think I was going to ask Nico if I could leave some here. Or I also going to leave some tomorrow after the workshop. To sell there, and there's also Miha Making Moves tote bags. But to start this ceremony, all you need is a journal and the sunset, and that to me was what kept me here for a while. And so I wanted to share that with all of you and encourage you to do it, because it really is a great outlet. Nature, just man, that's medicine. That's really, really medicine. So I have moved in since the last podcast. I talked about moving into my new place, and I have some thoughts on living alone. And, you know, I wake up grateful every day. And that is something that I didn't necessarily have experience with for the last few years. So waking up and literally saying thank you, God, for another day, because I feel this sense of peace living in my space that I created for myself. It feels, it just feels like pure peace, like just tranquility, like I'm safe. And I started rereading I Am Diosa. You read that book too, right?
I've read parts of it, yes, but I haven't, yeah.
What was your experience with it? Or what do you remember?
Honestly, it was probably the beginning of my shadow work.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so that was probably, like, the start with my shadow work. And then at the time, I was like, ooh, I'm not ready for this, like, going deep in there. Like, but I... Now, going deep in there and connecting with my inner child and even inner teenager, mm-hmm. you know, like that. Yeah. So that was the book that started me on my shadow work.
So Christine, what is her last name? You'll look it up. Christine wrote this book. Girl, I love you. Christine, you wrote this book that I like emailed her immediately. I was like, this is incredible. Life changing. Like, thank you. It is so healing, and Christine Gutierrez, Cosmic Christine on Instagram. And she also does retreats also. I couldn't afford to go on it, but I would have, if I had the money after I just read that book, that would have been the first thing I fucking bought. Like, I swear. She does retreats in Puerto Rico, and I can imagine how beautiful that must be. But she's definitely a healer, and that book has a lot of power. And me, I always remind people on my podcast that I listen to books. I don't read books. I listen to them, and that helps me. I can't sit still for too long, so being able to take the book with me and move around, ooh, that's everything. So I inhaled that book, and I also cried and, like, struggled my way through it, though. Like, so I had to do it. I inhaled it consecutively, but I had to do it in small portions, mm-hmm. because it was, like, heavy.
It's deep.
Yeah,
it's really deep.
When you're ready to do this work, though, like, it, when you decide to, because I don't think you're ever ready, but, like, something I wrote in the confirmation email yesterday for the pod, for the workshop, mm-hmm. was not to be discouraged, because I wanted to tell them what to expect, you know. And I said, you know, expect to ask yourself hard questions and expect to, I don't know what exactly I said, what did I say? But my point was, is that I'm telling you this is going to be hard, but don't let that make you change your mind, essentially. That's what I'm trying to say. Because this is the soul work. Someone, a homie of mine, I was like, you should come on Sunday. You can come for free. Like, just come. He's like, no, I don't want to do homework. I'm like, this ain't homework. This is soul work. And this is like homework. Like, you can't even compare it to that. Because in homework, what is your return on that investment? A good grade? Fuck that. When you do soul work, your investment is a good life. Like, you actually create a good life for yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different kind of work. And, but it also is it requires bravery, and some people aren't ready for that, and that's okay too, you know?
Yeah. So you want to read it?
Sure. I said, actually, can you read it? Because I can see that far.
Okay. What to expect. This one's about connecting with yourself, ultimately your inner child. Be prepared to think deeply about yourself and your experiences. Be prepared to be honest with yourself, and be prepared for the potential emotions that can arise in you. In many cases, the questions we ask ourselves in these workshops can be triggering, so please prepare for that to be a possibility. Please don't let that scare you either. I encourage you to embrace this as an opportunity to heal yourself. In this workshop, I will talk about what I've learned from doing this work myself, and then we will do writing and sharing activity together.
There you go. That's what you can expect for the workshop. But yeah, that was exactly what the point I was trying to make. Yeah, because many times we run away from things that are scary. And we'd rather do the thing that feels safe, but most of the time, the thing that feels safe is keeping us inside of a comfort zone, which prevents us from growing, you know? And it's also not a diss to somebody who's not ready, because guess what? If you're not ready, it's no point of going. So there's no, you will come to this when you're ready. And when you do, we'll be there welcoming you with open arms. Another another thought that I have on living alone is that I've been able to mother myself. I've been able to mother myself in ways that I was not mothered. Like, I come home and make dinner for myself every night, and I make sure that my house is clean. Like, I make sure that my space is clean because I love myself. That I'm like, oh, this is what it, I didn't know this is what that was, because I didn't have a relationship with, I didn't have a mother that was like that. And it wasn't that she was a bad mother. She didn't have any concept of that because it was never given to her. So it was like this, I don't know, this kind of like coldness or like emptiness that I think I felt a lot because I was home alone. And now that I'm an adult and I get to, I could feel the same way I did as a kid, because I'm still alone the same way I was as a kid. But I have all these tools that I have now that I didn't have as a kid. And so with those tools, I see that when that pain comes, that loneliness or that, you know, feeling like you're all by yourself comes, the only remedy is to do something to take care of yourself. And so now when I start feeling those pains, the more I feel those pains, the more I look for things to do. And I'm like, oh, well, your clothes are dirty. Your house isn't clean or whatever. Like, the dishes need to be done. You haven't eaten. Have you drank water today? Like, so every single time I come up against those human emotions of feeling like, you know, unworthiness or abandonment or whatever it might feel that is oftentimes caused by your earlier experiences as a kid, I've learned a coping mechanism now that isn't trying to run away and escape. And it's like attacking the larger problem of why you feel that way, which is because you don't feel taken care of. And so the cheat code to that is to take care of yourself. And taking care of yourself is going to look differently for everyone, but for me it does look like keeping my space clean and cozy, and also making sure I'm fed and that like my basic needs are met, because that is not familiar to me. It's helped me so much, you know. I brought Fred to live with me. Fred is my cat. You can follow him on Instagram at the world famous Fred. And I brought him to live with me, but I technically am not allowed to have cats. If anybody is listening to this that works for my property management company, oh my fucking God. Like, just, okay, we're never bringing this up again. Okay, this is too close. No, we cannot get caught. But anyways, having Fred there is like also giving me insight into, I know this is so ridiculous to say, like, oh, you have a cat, so you know it's like to be a mother. Like, no, fool, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, like, you get an idea of like, oh, I don't have to only just worry about me. Like, there's actually some living thing that's also depending on me in some way. And it alerts me to how unready for parenthood I am. Like, it really truly does. And I also want to make sure that we're not confusing, because I know that when people say, oh, I have a dog, it's the same thing. Like, girl, no, that's impossible. But I understand the sentiment they're trying to convey, which is like, it is extremely it is an extreme responsibility to have to take care of someone. And it also gives me compassion for my own mom, because I don't know, I think you, as a kid I was blaming and like, well, she doesn't want to be here or things like that. And you have no idea the life someone has led to lead them to the point that they're at. And because we have such a limited view, especially as a kid with no tools, you can only see what hurts you, you know? And now I can see what hurts me, but now I have the capacity to think deeply about that. And that's also what the workshops, you know, are an opportunity to do. So living alone has been cool. I mean, I technically have a roommate across the house, but it's not somebody that I already previously knew. So I feel like it's different, because anytime I've ever had a roommate, it's been like a friend. So I would get home and like hang out with my friend. I don't do that now, but I do cook for him whenever I make food, because Sai, if you're listening to this, I'm gonna give you a cooking lesson, my friend. He said he makes his papas in the microwave, and I said, not in my house you don't. I said, not anymore. So every time I cook, I give him some too. So what else? So since the last episode, what do we have? We had our first live podcast at the Goddess Mercado in East LA.
Yes.
And do you want to give a little rundown of that?
How? Yeah, I was just going to say, can we just explain or just like say how magical that whole day was and just how powerful it was? And even just like me, like after the whole event was done. And well, let me back up. So basically the live podcast was the conversations that were had with these amazing chingonas.
So on the podcast, yes, were first it was Diana Diaz, mm-hmm. who's the founder of the Goddess Mercado. Then we had Lisa Rocha, who is the founder of Elements Jewelry. Mm-hmm. And then we had
Irene
Murillo, mm-hmm. who is a just an OG in the community and is a recovering addict and also knew my dad.
Yeah, so many. It was so meant to be.
Yeah, so many connections that day. You know, so many like little, what is that called? Serendipitous?
Yes.
Like, sure. I don't know. So many little magical moments.
I was going to say, leading into this, was like that day I texted you and I was like, oh, like I feel it in my soul, like things are gonna happen, like mm-hmm. you're gonna blow up like soon, like things are gonna happen. And sure enough, what just happened?
We had a TikTok controversy. If I had my little soundboard, I'd be like, no, 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 TikTok controversy. That shit. Ooh. So let's start from the beginning. So I'm just at Sammy Joe's house eating Hollenbeck burritos with her and Aaron. And we're just sitting there, you know, having a regular day. And then my friend Erica from Mercadito Monarca texts me and she's like, bitch, you were viral. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And she sends me this video. And I go on this guy's page on TikTok and he posted a video of me doing my Chingona Fire poem from when I performed at Wieden and Kennedy, like I think 2017 or 2018. And this shit had like 300,000 views already. Mm-hmm. I think that's when when I first saw it, it had like 200 something views, yeah. 200,000 views. And I was like, impossible. So I like looked at his page. And at first, my very first initial response was embarrassed because Aaron put it on his phone loud. And my voice, I don't know if I'm the only one, I'm pretty sure I'm not. My voice makes me cringe sometimes. Like when I was like, no, turn it down. Cause I didn't want to hear my own voice. But then I let the whole day pass because I don't know, I guess I have like anxiety, hello. But I didn't want to like face it. I didn't want to go see the comments. I was scared. Honestly, I was scared. I was like, I don't want to have to deal with negative, because in that amount of views, mm-hmm. the probability of there being trolls is very high. So I didn't even want to go look. So until the next day, I went and looked. But I sent it to Ale.
Like, immediately.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. What are we going to do about this? So, he posted the video of me with no credit. So, people were in the comments asking, who is this? Who is this? And then, so, shout out to Inkwell. And shout out to Erica, who went in on the comments, like, making sure he gave me credit. And then, once I posted it on Instagram, all the people from Instagram went over there and started commenting on it, too. Talking about, you need to give Millennial Mijao credit. And I thought that was beautiful. So thank you guys, whoever participated in that. Like that you guys stuck up for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was really sweet.
I think for both of us too, at least for me, like there was anxiety on both of our ends because there was no control. Like we had no control over
it. Yeah, we still don't. And now it's at, what's it at now?
Probably more.
It was like, yeah, the last we checked, it was almost at 500,000 views. Mm-hmm. And which that has gained me a lot of followers. Thank you for people that came from TikTok to Instagram to follow me. Thank you from just thank you guys, because you know what, you don't have to follow nobody and you chose to follow me and that's cool. So yeah, she's checking. I think it's
502.4k.
what?
Yeah,
that's 500,000 views.
I know.
My TED Talk only has 65,000 views. This TikTok that this one guy posted from years ago has 500,000 views. How in the fuck? How many comments does it have? I think it has over 2,000 comments now. I'm going to guess, because the last time we checked it was like 1,800.
It's 1868.
Okay, still.
Long story short, we're on TikTok now.
Yeah, so follow Millennial Mija on TikTok and please do, because So I started posting a couple videos over there that I had on Instagram, and I posted my We Are California video, and that shit went crazy too. I think that's like at 15,000 views now or something. But what I'm starting to see is that we've been focusing on Instagram, and we should have been focusing on TikTok. Let that be a lesson to us all, okay? We gotta move on, because you know what's gonna happen? I don't wanna end up still on Instagram the same way all our parents and our tios and tias are still on Facebook. I don't wanna be that guy. I do not wanna be that. Like, that'd be embarrassing. Find something on the instrumentals. So the TikTok controversy of 2022, but all that did was like put us on TikTok. So now we have a presence there. I'm going to keep on posting. I think I just need to get better at editing and like using sound. And I think I just need to spend some time on TikTok to see how it works. So I'll do that. And another one. That's too sad. Oh. That's too sad. That's a song about Jay-Z cheating on Beyonce. So we have been putting Canva to work. Also, I want to update you on Millennial Mija projects that we have been putting Canva to. We even made artwork for this podcast, though. This Live from Espacio, there's an artwork post that we're going to post, and you guys are going to be very impressed, because I've never done that before. So, also Summer of Self. So Season of Self started as Summer of Self, the workshop series, and now we're turning it back into Summer of Self for this summer again. We will be offering all the workshops over again, and I'll see how many of them Liz wants to collab with to make them also sound baths, because adding the sound bath element to the writing workshop is like double way of getting closer to yourself, you know. See, and this is summer of Self, and the homegirls too. Beep beep. Is that my bestie in a Tessie?
Jen, where are you?
My friend Jen, my best friend. She's my best friend, and she drives a Tessie. And one time we were at a Venice Beach, and we were playing this song all loud. Mm-hmm. And then these girls passed by, and then she looked at Jen, and she's like, "Is that my bestie in a Tessie?" And so, ever since then, that's been our little thing. And we also have upcoming guests. So we're going to have Neighborhood Prima again. Kristen, I already told her you're coming on again. And we're actually going to talk about what it feels like to have that kind of like dilemma. I even have a poem about it. Borderland, you know, like being Latina enough. We're also going to be talking to Carissa Hernandez, co-owner of Chelas here in Boyle Heights, which is a dope-ass bar, and co-owner of Nativo in Highland Park. Brown business owners who we need to highlight. We will also be talking to Erica from Mercadito Monarca, Irene Murillo, the one who we told you we talked to on the live podcast, and she has so much wisdom and so many stories. I can't wait to hear about my dad.
Yeah,
that was really powerful for me to she came up to me because she was the last person. I kept her for last because I was afraid she was making me cry. And as soon as she got up to the stage, she sat down and she was just like, "Mija, your dad is so proud of you." And it just like gave me like, it choked me up, you know. And she's like, I can feel him here. And then also talking to Lisa from Elements Jewelry. She's also, I guess you could call it, clairvoyant. So she was like, "Yeah, there's a man standing behind you wearing brown and with like a pachuco stance." I'm like, "Yep, that's my dad." Yeah. That's my daddy. And who else? We're going to be talking to Ashley from Brown Girl Travel. She doesn't know that yet, but I'm going to ask her. Yeah. Because she has so much to update us on with Brown Girl Travels, and there's so much movement. And we also went to the Brown Girl Travels book fair. Hello. It was incredible. Ashley killed that shit. She created a free book fair in Highland Park at Avenue 50 Studios, and all the books were free. Like, she took all of the victims of the Scholastic Book Fair and gave them justice, and we love her for that. So shout out to Ashley. I also want to talk again to Annie Gonzalez from Gentified, and also from many other things. But she spoke about failure recently on her Instagram Live, and I was told that it gave a lot of advice, yeah, wisdom, and I heard some of it myself. And so I want to talk to her about that, because I know that she has definitely, she knows what she's talking about, you know, and she speaks from a place of honesty and love, and just her wisdom is real. is real, and I want to get her back on the show. There's many other people that I'm going to ask, and many other people. These are just the people we wrote down. And I'm just excited for what we have going on. Like, do you want to talk a little bit about what you brand updates before we go?
Yes. So I just want to say this little break that we had was very much a resting period that I think you needed.
Yeah.
And
the weekly grind was a lot for me.
It was too much. It was too much. And then after talking to you and just strategizing on shit and just kind of like, oh, like we can totally elevate this to the next level. So on that, we've been co-collaborating on a press kit to make sure it's gonna be a new aesthetic for Millennial Mija,
and also ways to like reach out to brands and gigs. And I need to do some of that legwork because I have been spoiled for the last 10 years. Every gig I've gotten, they slide in my DMs, you know, and I need to put some work in if I want to continue to sustain myself as a working artist, you know. And so that you helping me with this element of my brand and my my growth is it's just invaluable to me.
Yeah. And so, yeah, quick shout out. If you are a brand or a small business that wants to work with Millennial Mija, please reach out to us. MillennialMija@gmail.com. And
I want to. I also want to hit up weed brands. I've been saying that.
Yes, that's been something on our minds. And also too, I'm just excited to grow with you. Like, I just feel like I'm here on the ride with you.
Yeah, you're on the ride, man. We're on the ride together. I'm excited to grow with you too. The last thing I had wanted to bring up, which I can't really talk to her about because it triggers her, but I know so many of us watched Euphoria, bitch. Euphoria was okay. This show is visceral. Okay, the visceral, let me give you the definition of that. Please look it up. See, this is the thing about my college degree. Okay, I know that I'm using the right word, but I can't tell you exactly what the word means. I just know I'm using the right word. You get me? So we're gonna look up that definition. The definition of visceral is relating to deep inward feelings rather than to the intellect, but it also, like, you can physically feel the stuff that happens on that show. And I know everyone's agreeing with me because many of us had to stop and pause the show before we could continue. Like, so it explores addiction with the main character Rue, who is Zendaya, who is just girl fire, we love you. And the whole cast really is just fly as fuck. And it talks about low self-esteem and toxic relationships. It talks about best friend relationships. It talks about having to grow up too fast. Fezco's relationship with his grandmother just stuck out to me a lot, you know. It's something I could relate to. This show has just been so it's made an impact. What about it, or do you want to talk a little bit about why you don't prefer to watch it?
So I did try and get into it, like, in the first season. And there was like this deep, like, trigger in my gut, and I was just like, oh, I can't watch this. Like, this is too much. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, me and my mom, we feel a lot because we both have fibromyalgia, and we really feel like a lot that goes on in the world. And I don't know if that has anything to do with just like empathy. I really don't.
But we feel both.
Yeah. So.
Oh my god, what if fibromyalgia?
That's my theory. I know where you're going with, but, like, that's my theory.
I'm having that's a Raven moment. Because that makes sense for Lady Gaga too.
Yes, so okay, yes, but okay, that is
say what
so I'm basically thinking. What I think is, like, people with, because I'm not the only one there, we have a friend too, Rosie, who also has fibromyalgia, and we all feel things, and we've seen, like, spirits. And also too, like, I have this theory that we're, like, in the closet brujitas about it, like, and that's why, like, we feel things, like the pain that we feel, because it's not with the joint, it's the nerves. So that is something that I'm getting chills right now.
It's because we're saying the truth.
So, like, that's why I'm just like, okay. But anyways, so going back to it, there's a lot of generational trauma on, like, I want to say both sides with addiction and all that. So when I was watching this show, immediately, same. Like, I was like, I can't, this is too much. And a lot of shows like that, and even just like about kidnapping or sexual assault, like
things that are intense
like that, like we can't watch it. And it's wild to me because I've been grateful. Like I mean, yes, I've gone like catcalled and shit like that, like since I was younger. I was early developer, but like I never have gotten sexually assaulted or anything like that, but it's like I feel it so deeply that it feels like it happened to me. Yeah. And that's why like I think like some shit along the lineage, like yeah, it did happen like multiple times, and stories that my mom has told and everything. So, and I know it's happened to my cousins like within the family, so you yeah know, like it was just something that
too close for
it
comfort.
Was too close, it was yeah too close. And I think my mom tried so hard to protect me from it. You know, so
I think that's how I know that this is the right word, because I remember like it's the word visceral helps you explain something that you can't really explain. You yes can only feel, like you can feel the show. Mm-hmm. You almost like don't even have to, I don't know, you do have to hear the dialogue. And then I want to highlight this one episode where it was pure dialogue. The entire show was only just, it was just them sit, it was Rue and her sponsor sitting in a diner speaking, and it was like, it was almost like the concept was, what if we never cut from the conversation? Mm-hmm. Like what if we just let the whole what if we just actually had these two characters actually have this whole conversation? And mm-hmm it was powerful, because growing up in NA, being around addicts, heroin addicts, and understanding that their wisdom comes from a very different place than other people's. Mm-hmm. Because it comes directly from their pain and their experiences with that. And so, you know, I recognized that kind of wisdom and really appreciated it being displayed in that way. But I can 100,000%, it was triggering me, but that's why I would watch it in little places. But I can imagine someone who's even more sensitive not being able to watch it, because yeah there have been like certain shows or movies that I can't watch because of that. Like it's like, oh, this is too much, like I feel like mm-hmm I feel like I'm them or something.
Yeah, because it's not just feeling it, but it's like I feel the pain.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like and I mean, I've had people tell me like, oh, you're an empath, but like I just always associated it with fibromyalgia.
It says fail to load. Oh man. So I guess whoever we posted the,
it might be, because yeah
we posted the link, sorry guys, we posted the link to,
it's okay, it's our first show,
we
surviving through it, so
yeah, we will know survive. We will survive. Sorry we were talking about fibromyalgia.
But no, it's okay. No, yeah, but that's just basically
so
it.
The show itself, so me and Arlene wanted to watch it together, the finale, but we were too lazy to drive. What the, so we just watched it on FaceTime. And it was, oh my god, there's so many things to talk about. But I need to get another Euphoria stan on this show so that we could just go all the way in. And we will. And I think it will probably be Arlene, because we have a lot to say about it. So just be ready for that. And I know that so many of you that listen also love this show, because I feel like the people who listen to my show are just people that would be like my friends. Mm-hmm. They would be like my homegirls. And so I feel like I know what you guys like, because I like it. So we'll talk about that. But I want to say thank you again to Espacio and for them allowing us to come into their space and use their equipment and doing it for free of charge, because that's community. And that's how we sustain each other. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate you, Ale, for being here with me, for helping me with this podcast. I appreciate every single person for listening, because like Jay-Z said, you could be anywhere else in the world right now, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow at the workshop if you're coming. And the next podcast will be
23rd.
April 23rd. And it will be with Kim from Badass Bonita. Get ready for that. Have a great week. Great couple weeks. And yeah, keep taking care of yourself. We'll see you soon.
Hello?
It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.